It's time for Kennedy for Alabama, a political talk show where we discuss the real issues impacting our sweet home, Alabama.
I love this country as much, if not more, than you do. And don't you ever forget that.
And now your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
Good evening to the FM Talk 106.5 listening audience in Mobile and the WVNN listening audience in Huntsville. My name is Robert Kennedy Jr., and this is Kennedy for Alabama. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode. We're really excited about tonight's program, so let's get to it. Tonight, we have four fantastic members of this evening's conversation team. The first is Ms. Aquilyn Kennedy.
Good evening, everyone.
Executive Producer and Chief Brand Strategist for Kennedy for Alabama. The second, joining us by phone, is Mr. Dale Leach, who's a reporter for Lagniappe Mobile. The third, joining us by phone in the bottom half of the hour, is Mr. Arthur Mack, who is a fiction writer and a reporter for The Call News. And last, but no wise least, is Mr. Ian Blair, who, after 10 original episodes, should probably at least say hi one time on the program. How you doing, Ian?
Hello!
There you go.
All right. Thank you so much. With that, Aquilyn, tell me something good.
Hey, with Ian not hitting the note like that, I don't know if I'm going to have the right thing. But let me just tell you something really great. Tonight is the culmination of, let's see, 4 months of planning.
Yeah, at least.
At least 4 months. And it's been more than that. Tonight is the NAACP Mayoral Forum. We are super excited that this is taking place. It's all virtual, taking into account what's going on, the COVID and the pandemic. But we have been coordinating with like-minded organizations across the area that all want to get candidates in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
I remember back in April, I actually reached out to our media to see if they would work with us to actually produce this. And they were super excited to do that. And so it started there. We reserved dates, and then we went to work with the other organizations to make sure that we avoided conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to make sure that everyone had a chance to see all the candidates however you could. So there have been so many times that people have had an opportunity to do that, and it helps because there are so many candidates. So I hope that it worked this time, but we look forward to tonight, 6:30, Mobile, Alabama, NAACP is the website. And it's also, I'm sorry, is the Facebook page, and it's also streaming on the Facebook pages of WKRG, WPMI, and Fox 10.
All right, Aquilyn, thank you so much for that. Now, under normal circumstances, we would ask our listening audience to stay with us for the entire hour, but we realize with the NAACP Mayoral Forum happening at the same time that you might have to break and go over there for a little while. But if you end up missing the back half of our show with Mr. Arthur Mack, please make sure you go and listen to the podcast, because I am sure that is going to be an excellent part of the interview. Now for the headlines. The first headline comes to us from the AL.com archives. It reads, "See who starred in Mobile's Challenge of Champions track meet." It was written by Mr. Arthur Mack and published on the 3rd of April, 2021. The second headline comes to us from the WKRG News 5 archives. It reads, "Political analysts, council race might be more important than the mayoral election." The story was presented by Peter Albrick and John Gray and aired on May 25th, 2021. The final headline for tonight comes to us from Lagniappe Mobile. It reads, "District 1 candidate focuses on drainage." It was written by Dale Leach and published on the 11th of August, 2021. And with that, we're going to go to the phone lines and see if we have Mr. Dale Leach. Are you on with us?
I'm here.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Problem.
How are you holding up?
I'm all right. Looking forward to the NAACP forum later. I'll be watching that, and so I'm glad you had me on first.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting as we started this journey. I guess you and I met each other probably about 4 years ago at this point.
That's right.
One of the things that we realized when we were a candidate was how difficult it was for us to get exposure, particularly if we were in any type of down ballot race. And one of the things that I'm particularly happy about this season is just like Aucklin said early on, when the community and media start to coordinate and deconflict, then at the end of the day, all the various stakeholders can get what they need. So so thank you so much for your role in participating in that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, hey, you know, I've actually wanted to interview you on the show for a while, and I know that you've appeared quite a number of times on the Midday Mobile show or the Mobile Morning show. But for those of the listening audience who are hearing you for the very first time, just take a moment and introduce yourself. Let people know where you grew up, where you went to school, et cetera.
Well, my name is Dale Leach, as you've mentioned. I work – I'm a city politics reporter for Lanyap. I pretty much grew up in Baldwin County. Mm-hmm. I live in Mobile now. I came to Baldwin County, Alabama from the Portland, Oregon area when I was about, I guess I was just turning 10 years old.
Okay.
And I pretty much, other than college and a few other places where I started my journalism career, I've lived here all, you know, pretty much since that time. So I'm very familiar with the area. You know, have just really enjoyed growing up here, and I moved back, started a family, so I'm here for good now.
it's amazing how starting a family will make you plant some roots, huh?
absolutely.
Hey, one other question before we get into the meat of tonight's conversation, and that is, I'm often intrigued about what caused an individual to get into the profession that they're in. So what caused you to want to become a journalist?
I really, really wanted to write. I loved writing, and I wanted to get paid to do it.
Even
and
better.
So I wanted a steady paycheck. I decided that journalism was the way to go, and I haven't looked back since.
All right. Well, we are definitely blessed and fortunate that you are in that profession. So with that, you specifically were the final headline that I had tonight. And to reread that for anyone who may just be tuning in, it mentions a District 1 candidate focuses on drainage. And so I've been very fascinated with what's happening here in the districts, and I know that you're going to have a fairly detailed article coming out in Lanyap next week. But I was hoping you could just kind of preview what you're seeing in the district races, and let's just start with District 1.
District 1 is pretty crazy as far as the number of candidates. The variety of candidates, mm-hmm. and really the different ideas that each candidate has and brings to the table. I think that's mainly because you have someone in District 1 who has been the councilman since, I think, 1997.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's a brand new start for some folks, and so I think they're really taking the opportunity to, this is my chance. I might not get another chance for 20-some years, so I better do it. And so I think you're seeing a lot of people who maybe wouldn't have run against the incumbent come out and say it's my time. So we'll see what happens.
Sure. So before we get into any specific individuals, and it's your call as to whether or not you want to call out any specific individuals, but what are you seeing as the issues that are kind of percolating and coming to the top with District 1 specifically?
Well, you know, that headline you mentioned, that was Perry Barron's. He's running for District 1, and his main issue was drainage. And I got to tell you, that is a huge issue probably among all of the candidates in all of the districts and in the mayor's race, because if you drove through town today, drainage is still an issue. It will maybe always be an issue. Mm-hmm. So that's been a main issue. I think you've seen a lot of people bring up Lad People Stadium. That's not necessarily in District 1, but Lad People Stadium's been an issue. I guess if you want to keep it to District 1, you see a lot of people talk about economic development. You see sort of a difference. If you go to, like, the south part of the district, you see a lot more development as far as grocery stores and restaurants and mm-hmm. things like that. And you have the north side of the district that's kind of a little bit more economically depressed, maybe. And I think that there's a willingness to discuss sort of an equity there, that there are some candidates who would really like to see. And one candidate in particular is Tim Hollis, who told me that he would really like to see sort of there maybe be some more equity when it comes to where we locate some of these businesses and kind of really get the north side of District 1 jumping. Transportation's a big issue, sidewalks. all of those sorts of things you deal with on a city level, or District One's kind of a microcosm of the whole city and its issues and challenges.
Sure, and you know, one of the things that I actually thought was interesting, and full disclosure, so we live in Pritchard currently, but when we first moved to Mobile around the age of 10, we lived with my grandmother in Tolmanville for a year.
Okay.
And so I wanted to anchor that because there were two things you said that resonated with me. I'm surprised that there hasn't been more of a conversation on Highway 45 as a potential economic center that can obviously transform District 1. And then the second one, because, you know, Bear Fork Road is where Mobile and Pritchard meet, and the lack of of sidewalks there is downright dangerous. So I do find it interesting that that those are a couple of things that some folks are touching on.
Yeah, you've got that strip center right there on Highway 45, right at Catherine Street and St. Stephen's Road, I believe. And I drive by that quite a bit because my wife's a teacher at Just Four. So mm-hmm. It's pretty empty there. It'd be nice if we had more stuff going on right there.
Absolutely. So District 1, obviously a lot of candidates there that are going to be vying for this open seat. Are you seeing anything in your reporting that's pointing in one direction or another? You mentioned Tim Hollis. Shout out to Tim. We know he's been doing a lot of things very publicly over the last 4 years, at least that I've been back home. Know there's some other folks in there that are doing things in the community, but are you hearing anybody getting traction, anybody resonating?
With the lack of an incumbent, it's pretty wide open, I would say. I would maybe give the nod to the two gentlemen that ran previously in Corey Penn and Tim Hollis, who we already mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you got Herman Thomas, who was a judge and has had his name out there political races for a while. And I think he's got a decent shot too. So I think you really got three front runners. But I really think it's anybody's race.
Sure. So with that, let's transition from District 1 into District 2, which in some ways is perhaps the most fascinating of the district races, because you have the incumbent city council president, and then you have some challengers that have either very high name recognition or previous experience. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. It's a strange one, right? Because LaVon Manzi didn't have any competition the last time, 4 years ago. He ran unopposed, I believe. So seeing this, cavalcade of opponents come out this time is a little bit strange. I think with the pandemic, maybe people saw him out and about less because of some of his health concerns, and I think that has played a part in it as well. But yeah, you've got him, you've got William Carroll, and Jason Caffey, the Bulls player, mm-hmm. played with Jordan. I think those three are formidable. I think you're going to see a runoff in that race, and Manzi's got a lot of support, but there's just so many candidates that have name recognition that it might be hard for him to get 50+1. So I think you're going to see a runoff, and I think you're going to see LaVon Manzi and William Carroll in that race. I could be wrong, but that's what it's looking like to me.
All right, and let's talk a little bit about the issues, right? So are there any particular issues that are unique to District 2 that are kind of resonating with you or sticking out?
I mean, downtown is always probably the biggest issue in District 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how to keep downtown thriving, how to keep everything between the businesses and the residents kind of copacetic, and then you've got your just normal regular neighborhood issues, you know, sidewalks, drainage, all that good stuff. And then that's another one where you've got to really think about the future of Ladd Stadium, and
Absolutely.
You want to pick somebody who's got your best interest for that stadium in mind, whatever that might be, because I mean, we've got the schools that play at Ladd now are all going to have their own, pretty much all going to have their own stadiums here
mm-hmm.
before too long.
Right.
So you're really going to have to be part of, if you're going to be the district councilman in that or councilwoman in that area, you've really got to be kind of out in front of it, because you're going to have to help them transition into either more of an entertainment venue or maybe bringing in some bigger college games. and keeping the classics and stuff. So it's going to be interesting. That's going to need to be a person who can really have some leadership quality. So we'll have to see what happens.
All right. We're going to take the opportunity to shout out Reggie Hill, who's running for that district as well.
Reggie Hill, absolutely.
Yeah, he's appeared previously here on Kennedy for Alabama. And
let me say this for Reggie Hill. I don't think there's one person running for that seat, maybe other than LaVon, who has been more outspoken about the district and about the city in general than Reggie Hill. He has done a good job of coming to the meetings. You know, you always see candidates come to the meetings, you know, a month or 2 months before the election. Reggie was coming years ago.
Thank you. I'll
give him props for that. And I think he'll be formidable too. It's such a tough race.
It is definitely a tough race, and I agree. Reggie, I mean, every week you can count your, you know, he's right there and he's talking about really pertinent issues to the community. So
yeah,
I appreciate every last one of them to step forward.
There you go. All right. And I think that was the same thing with Timothy Hollis there in District 1. He'd been pretty
visible
as well.
Absolutely.
So let's move on. Let's go to District 3.
Yeah, District 3, for a while, it didn't look like C.J. Small was going to have any competition in that race. So I haven't really been following that one as close as the others.
Sure.
But you've got two candidates in that race. So no one's going unopposed. And I think that's going to come down to a big one, you know, handling of blight, you know, handling of how the parks are being handled. Some of that stuff is going to be very important. And also what their plans are to maybe mitigate some of the issues that relocating the airport to District 3 will have. I mean, I live fairly close to Brooklyn. I can already hear planes flying over my house. So I know for residents that are even closer, you know, that might be a big issue. So those are going to be issues that people are probably going to be interested in that race as well.
Gotcha. So let's move on to District 4.
Okay. That's another one where the councilman is going to be, in this case, John Williams isn't running for anything. I think in District 1, Fred Richardson's running for mayor. John Williams is retiring completely, so that makes that race interesting because there's going to be a new person in that seat regardless of what happens. And so you've got Ben Reynolds and Fred Reddick in that race. And I, you know, Ben Reynolds is kind of the hand-picked successor of John Williams.
Did he endorsed?
Yeah, the one he endorsed.
Gotcha.
He has a sign for him in his front yard. And as Fred Reddick has made clear, he's kind of new to politics. He doesn't have somebody holding his hand. So, I think he expects there to be an uphill battle for his campaign. But he's a businessman. He's had a business for decades here in Mobile. And he's really been active in the community sort of in a more religious capacity. He had these billboards that asked people to pray for a new bridge and stuff like that. The issues of District 4 are going to be the same neighborhood issues that you see all over the place. Parks, drainage. You've obviously got water quality issues with Dog River and things like that people are going to be wanting to pay attention to there on the in that side of things. So, but that should be interesting to see who replaces another long-term incumbent. That seems to be an issue here in Mobile. We get a lot of long-term incumbents.
Yeah, we do indeed. We do indeed. So now we've gone to, actually, we've covered four districts so far. We have two that are absolutely wide open, right? And then we have two that are a little bit more narrow in focus. So as we transition from four to five, what are you seeing there in District 5?
You got the incumbent Joel Daves going up against Tex Copeland and Walisha Wright. I wanted to make sure I pronounced her name right, and I think I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Walisha Wright really wanted to, her focus was to kind of bring community back to District 5, kind of get it to back to where she remembered it as a kid, where you could walk down the street to your grandma's house and everybody knew everybody.
Right.
And there's a lot to be said for that sort of mentality, especially when you're dealing with policing and crime. If everybody knows everybody, it's a lot easier to kind of self-police the neighborhoods, if you will. Joel Daves is running on his record
sure.
with, you know, CIP projects, how much capital money is coming to District 5. And he just wants to see some of the things that he started as a councilman come to fruition. Tex Copeland, they want to see some more services come to the city, help with homeless, social. It's a big social services sort of focus. And so you've got really three diverging points of view in that race. So that makes that interesting.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting indeed. So as we leave District 5 and go to District 6, we have another open seat, if memory serves me correctly.
That's another long-serving incumbent who has who's hanging up the putting up the gavel, if you will. Bess Rich is not going to run for re-election. She has endorsed Scott Jones for her district.
Okay.
And with that being said, Scott is going to he's running against Josh Woods, who's over at the Grounds, mm-hmm. and then Tony Dugache is also running in District 6. And just real quickly, Scott Jones, very much like Bess Rich as far as wanting to preserve neighborhoods, wanting to really put a focus on planning and zoning, give it more of a sense of you're protecting neighborhoods from development and things like that. So you're going to see that kind of thing from Scott. Josh is banking on his experience from the Grounds and from some of his financial acumen to kind of lead the district. And then you've got Tony Dugache, who's kind of the wild card here. I have spoken with him, and there will be a story about him in the election issue. But he's also been sort of a business man, kind of run some hotels around here, and he thinks that will help him run the district. So there's three people in that race. There could be a runoff. We'll have to wait and see. And I don't really know who the front runner is on that one.
So we wanted to make sure to also call out Daryl Pendleton.
Daryl Pendleton too. Mm-hmm. I forgot all about him.
Yes. Yeah,
he ran against Bess Rich last time, so he's got some name recognition. And he is a jack of all trades, man. He does everything. I think he's a pastor now.
Mm-hmm.
He has done some financial stuff. So he's very insightful about things, and he's got a good chance too.
Yeah,
thank you for jogging my memory.
I was like, wait a minute, he's the biggest one
memory.
Up there. He was the tallest one.
Yeah,
that's all
right. We know.
It's a lot of names.
Reverend Pendleton from the Mobile Area Black Chamber work that he's done, in addition to some other things. So we're actually coming down to the last 2 minutes before the commercial break. So District 7,
Alan Barnes is challenging Gina Gregory, another longtime incumbent who is running. In District 7. I don't know a whole lot about Alan Barnes.
Okay.
I have not been able to talk to him yet. I know that Gina is running to kind of see some of her projects that she's started and come to fruition. Widening of Ziegler Boulevard, the refurbishment of Municipal Park are two very, very important projects for her as we move forward. And then you've just got the regular neighborhood district stuff, drainage and sidewalks and things like that.
Well, thank you for going through that. I really do appreciate that. I know that you'll additionally have some comments here on the mayoral race in the last few days before that actual election. But I know we don't tend to take a lot of time to talk about the districts and just having the benefit of your expertise. We really do appreciate that.
Thank you.
No, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So, Dale, if people want to get in touch with you, learn more about you or more about Lanyap, what's the best way to do that?
Lanyapmobile.com is where all of my stories are published. Or the Lanyap paper. You can subscribe by clicking the subscribe button, follow the prompts. Please do that. We appreciate the support. If you want to reach out to me on Twitter, it's at Dale of Loxley, because that was my childhood home in Loxley.
Mm-hmm.
And then email is dale@lanyapmobile.com. And I would appreciate any questions, comments, complaints, whatever you got. I'm ready to listen.
All right, Dale. Well, thank you so much for giving us the benefit of your insight, and we'll be looking for your reporting next week.
Thank you so much.
All right, and one last thing that I'll say here before we go to the break is Lagniappe Mobile is our local paper. And if I was talking to Rob Holbert, he would tell me definitely subscribe to that, because there's nothing like having local reporters on the ground with a newspaper who's headquartered here in Mobile, Alabama. So with that, we are going to go to the break, and we will be back on the other side with Mr. Arthur Mack. You're listening to Kennedy for Alabama.
Welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. Now let's have a real conversation about what's going on in our Alabama communities. Once again, your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
And welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. For those of you who are just now joining us, my name is Robert Kennedy Jr. I am the executive producer and show host here at Kennedy for Alabama. And with my lovely wife, Miss Aquilin Kennedy, we try to bring stories to the FM Talk 65, FM 1065 listening audience in Mobile, and our newest listeners at WVNN in Huntsville. So during the first half of the show, we spent a time with Mr. Dale Leash, who's a reporter for Lagniappe Mobile, literally going through the municipal election races district by district. And you know, I know for those of you who may not be familiar, a lot of times we don't spend that time talking about what's happening with the city council, particularly at that level. And knowing that the city of Mobile has what they affectionately refer to as a strong council, weak mayor structure, we think from a community perspective, it's very important to spend that time going through that.
And especially important this year in particular, because we all seen how many people are on that ballot.
Exactly.
Right? It's going to take some time to really get to know who your choices are and who is going to make the best decision for your quality of life. So I hope that you all have taken advantage of the many, many, many opportunities.
Many
opportunities. We've all worked together to coordinate. And so we hope that you've been doing that. And while we don't want you to leave our show, we do want you to go back and check on the NAACP's page or any of the local television outlets' Facebook pages for the mayoral forum that should be starting any moment now.
All right. So with that, we are going to shift gears. I'm going to go to the phone lines and see if we have Mr. Mack on. Mr. Mack, are you on the line?
Oh, hey. How you doing, Robert?
I am doing fine. How are you doing?
Hey, doing great.
Well, first and foremost, welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. It's been a while since we've had the opportunity to talk on air.
Oh, yes. It's been quite a while. I think it was, sometime last year, early last year, I believe.
Yeah, something maybe like
maybe even longer than that. I kind of lost track of the time at all.
Well, the one thing is I've got to shout you out when we often joke about how a closed mouth doesn't get fed. And you were commenting on one of the other shows we did and had mentioned how you're looking for the opportunity to come back. And it was like, oh, my gosh, we hadn't talked in a while, so let's make that happen. So thank you for reminding me to reach out to you.
Oh, yes. Hey, my pleasure.
So for those folks who are learning about you for the first time, just take a minute just to introduce yourself, just who you are, where you're from, and just kind of, you know, how you got started in this whole thing called journalism.
Okay, well, I'm a native Mobilian. I'm a product of the Mobile County School System. I'm a Davidson High School graduate. I graduated from Bishop State Junior College, which is now Bishop State Community College, as well as the University of South Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could say I'm one of those guys who had a very varied background. I'm a retired state employee. I worked with the Mobile County Department of Human Resources for 25 years.
Right.
I'm also a retired Naval Reservist. And I also, right now, I'm doing a lot of freelance writing. I'm one of the featured writers for the Call News, which is based in Citronelle.
Right. Well, you know,
I also write novels, too. So
yeah,
another thing I'm involved with.
Yeah, we were going to talk about the fiction writing here because I thought that was fascinating. But before we get to that, you're presenting yourself with an enormous amount of humility. I know that we have some congratulations that are in store because you are, if memory serves me correctly, you won an award from the Alabama Sports Writers Association for the best sports feature. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. It was a feature on former St. Paul's track and field and cross country coach Jim Tate, who retired recently.
Okay.
He had a very long and very successful career, and he won numerous state cross country Indiana field championships. He's also a member of the Mobile Sports Hall of Fame as well, by the way.
Okay. All right. Well, that is good to hear.
All other things.
That is good to hear, and congratulations on that. And so we know that you are, from your journalism perspective, you do a lot of sports writing. Did you have any comments or commentary or perspective on the Olympics that just ended?
Well, very interesting. It was a very interesting Olympics, partly because of the COVID crisis,
mm-hmm.
and also partly because there are so many outstanding performances, especially from Team USA, especially in swimming and track and field.
Right.
To name a couple of disciplines. And you have to be very impressed with individuals such as Katie Ledecky, who is the most decorated female swimmer of all time for the United States.
Amazing.
A very, very special lady. And also, we had a Mobilian played a part in Team USA getting the silver medal in the 4x200-meter relay in swimming. Paige Madden, former University of Virginia standout, All-American there. And she's a native Mobile. She graduated from UMS Wright, as a matter of fact. She was an outstanding swimmer during her high school years.
Wow. Well, that was good to hear. Congratulations to her on her success. And just looking at what was happening, particularly, on the women's side of the sports, it was just amazing and very inspiring to be able to watch them perform so well, especially in light of what was going on with COVID, like you mentioned.
Oh, yes. One race in women's track and field that stood out in particular, I thought, was the 400-meter hurdles. Sydney McLaughlin and Dalia Muhammad both had outstanding races. Sydney, of course, winning the gold and getting a world record.
Yes.
And a very exciting race, I must add.
Indeed. That was a good one. And then the other one that stood out to me was when they brought the two of them and two other young ladies together for the 4x400 meter
relay.
Exactly.
Yes, that was another remarkable race. In addition to Sydney and Dalia, you had Effing Moe and Allison Felix.
Yes.
And all four of them together ran a magnificent race. I have to give a shout out to Allison because at age 35, she's become the most decorated women's track and field athlete in history.
Wow.
11 medals total.
That is absolutely amazing. So one last shout out to Team USA for all the things they do to represent us on the international stage. So with that, one of the reasons why I wanted to do this particular show segment during this time frame was I know recently you had a book signing event with another local writer. So could you just take the time and tell the audience a little bit about, what you've been doing from a writing perspective and what that event was, and we'll just kind of take it from there.
Okay. Well, it was a meet and greet. The author's event at Mobile Bookseller, which is located on the corner of Government Boulevard and Astoria Road. Myself and Viola Bright were there. We were talking about our books. We did readings from excerpts of some of our books. People who wanted to come and see us had the opportunity to do so. I thought it was very great, for people to come out and talk with us. We really had a good time talking to people who followed us. I wish we could do stuff like that more often.
Yeah, I know it's been particularly hard, with this COVID year,
getting
a lot of folks to come out and do things face-to-face. So, okay, so now let's go into your writing career. Now, I know I was fortunate and blessed enough to be able to purchase one of your books. The one that I got was Conflicted, which actually for the year 2020 was definitely an appropriate title for that particular year. But just take
yeah.
a look.
Conflicted, you know, which is basically a spiritually themed novel. You know, it's near and dear to me because it sort of reflected the way some people feel when it comes to, you know, dealing with their spirituality. You know, they see things mm-hmm. that, you know, bump up against their spirituality, so to speak. It makes them question their spirituality, you know, and it makes them wonder, hey, am I doing the right thing, or what am I doing wrong, or
right.
why does things seem to be going against me when I'm trying to do right? You get the idea.
Oh, you get the idea indeed. So along with Conflicted, just take a minute and tell the audience about the other books that are in your library of things that you've authored.
Okay, my first novel is entitled Dignity Before Dollars.
Okay.
The second book is a collection of short stories entitled Tales from the Black Side.
Mm-hmm.
And also, in addition to Conflicted, I wrote a sports-oriented novel entitled Solomon Fletcher.
Okay. All right.
Now, for those individuals who are not familiar with Solomon Fletcher, it's about the story of a high school business teacher who was a college track star back in the day.
Okay.
And he's assigned to this inner-city high school, and this school is not known for academic excellence.
All right.
And he has these dreams of getting the community involved, getting the students more excited about learning. And he has to deal with an apathetic, staff, you know.
Wow.
Some
okay.
of the teachers there, you know, they've just about given up. And some of the students, they seem as if they don't care. And he's faced with that, and to make matters worse, he runs up upon the cross-country team practicing, if you can call it practicing. The guy who is the cross-country coach, he's a driver's education teacher who was thrown into coaching cross-country, and he never had any experience coaching, nor
oh, wow.
did he have any experience running. So
you normally
imagine,
need to have one or the other,
you
right?
You know, the craziness that goes on. And by the serious accident, the main character, Solomon Fletcher, he winds up becoming not only the cross-country coach, but the track and field coach as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. No, that's actually really, really interesting. And so before we dig into anything else, if folks want to find out more about your library of books and actually purchase them, what's the best way for them to do that?
There are several ways to purchase it. I have them on sale at Mobile Bookseller.
Okay.
And also, they can contact me directly. They can email me. My email address is A. Lewis Mack. That's capital A L O U I S M A C K at AOL.com.
All right. Well, we're going to come back and give you the opportunity to give that information again here in a few minutes. So,
okay.
For those of you who are just now listening to us, we have started a conversation with Mr. Arthur Mack. Arthur Mack is a journalist who actually writes locally for The Call News and also has a library of books that he has authored. And so when you talk about figuring out what you want to do when you grow up and following your dreams, he is definitely an example of an individual who has done that. So we are going to go to our last break of the evening. So stick around. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to Kennedy for Alabama.
Welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. Now let's have a real conversation about what's going on in our Alabama communities. Once again, your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
And welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. My name is Robert Kennedy Jr., and we are going into the last few minutes of Season 4 of Kennedy for Alabama. So in case we get hemmed up here at the end, I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank all the listeners here at FM Talk 106.5 in the Mobile area and WVNN up in Huntsville. It has been a pleasure coming on the airways up in Huntsville. Now, the Mobile show is going to end tonight, but we will have a few encore episodes for the next few weeks going on there in Huntsville. So if you have some time on your Sunday afternoon between 2 p.m. and 3 p.m., please listen to WVNN, and you will be able to hear some of the episodes that we did earlier in the season here at Kennedy for Alabama. So with that, we're actually going to go back to the phone lines and continue our conversation with Mr. Arthur Mack. Mr. Mack, you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
All right. So thank you for staying with us through the break. So as I mentioned, we're going into the last few minutes of our episode here, and I wanted to give you the opportunity once again to tell folks how to get in contact with you or to purchase your books that you have for sale.
Okay. Now, if you want to get in contact with me directly, I have an email address, capital A, LOUISMACK at AOL.com. A Lewis Mack at AOL.com. It's a combination of my first initial, middle name, and last name.
Okay.
So that should be easy enough. I also have a Facebook page, Works by Arthur L. Mack. You can access that and message me in case you want to get one, two, or all of my books, or ask me questions about my books and such.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the opportunity to tell folks about that. So we talked a little bit about two of your books. We talked about the one that I purchased and read, which was Conflicted. Mm-hmm. We often also talked about the Solomon Fletcher novel. Would you like to take the time to talk about either one of your other works?
Okay, yes. My first book, entitled Dignity Before a Dollar, that's a big story behind that.
Okay.
I started writing that book back in 1982, but I did not finish it. I did not get it published until 2015.
Wow.
The reason being, I tried publishing it by conventional means, going through publishers, regular publishers. All I got was a bunch of rejection notices.
Mm.
And the only way I was able to get it published was through self-publishing, and
okay.
The way that happened was I went to this networking event back in 2014, and I met this lady who had self-published three books, and I told her about the manuscript that I had and that I've been trying to publish for, it seems like forever, and so she told me about how she went through self-publishing, and I took, you know, I enlisted her help, you know, she, you know, showed me the ropes as far as self-publishing is concerned, and as they say, the rest is history.
Well, first of all, I think the lesson in perseverance that you just communicated by saying you started a labor of love in 1982, and it took you until, you know, the 2000 teens to actually get it published is a lesson that all of us can learn from, just absolutely being
mm-hmm.
tenacious and never giving up. So, okay, well, thank you for telling us about that. The one last thing I did want to touch on, because I know you have your subject matter expertise in the sports world, was did you want to preview anything that may be coming with regards to some of your writing about local sports?
Oh, high school football. The Call News is scheduled to have this prep preview out pretty soon.
Okay.
And, we'll be previewing all the teams in Mobile County and Washington County, as well as Jackson, the city of Jackson, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very comprehensive preview, I must add. You know, we take great pains to talk to coaches and various players and get their take on what's going to happen during the season. And this is one of those seasons that's going to be very interesting.
Indeed.
Yeah, several schools are going to be having their home games at Ladd Peebles Stadium. One school in particular that's going to be prominent playing their games at Ladd Peebles is Vigor.
Right. Yeah, that's because Pritchard Stadium it has not met their particular needs from their perspective, and they've decided to
that's
go.
That's correct.
Well.
That is correct. And you've got several other schools that are going to be playing their home games exclusively at LAD Peebles. I believe LaFleur is one of them. So all in all, there are going to be a lot of games played at LAD this year.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, thank you so much for giving us that little snippet. We'll be looking forward to the issue of the call news and the prep preview. Thank you once again for visiting us here in Kennedy for Alabama, and we will look forward to talking to you in another season.
Oh, yes. I'm looking forward to it too, Robert.
All right. Well, you take care. Give our love to your family. We'll look forward to talking to you soon.
I will. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, and that was Mr. Arthur Mack of the Call News, and a fiction writer with books that are published. So, Aquilin, we're almost at the end here.
We're almost at the end of season four.
Indeed. It's wow. You know, it's amazing to think about how far we've come since we first started this particular labor of love. Thank you to the listening audience here in Mobile area for all the support that you have given us. Additional thanks to our friends up there in Huntsville listening to us on WVNN. It's going to be interesting. You know, we're going to be shutting down this particular season of the program. We'll be back sometime here in 2022, and we have some other, you know, really interesting projects that we're going to be working on between now and then, some of which will become public here fairly soon. One other shout out that we want to give is to our friends over at Mobile County EMA, who recently launched their app. We were fortunate enough to have the opportunity to support their project with some on-air work that we did. If you would like to see that, just go to their webpage and play the video, and you might actually hear a voice that you're familiar with if you do that. So, any final thoughts, Aquilin?
No, it's just been a real pleasure, you know, sitting here talking with you all, even though we can't hear back from you all the time. Just we feel the energy and understand that sometimes you agree, sometimes you don't agree, but that's what this is all about. It's about understanding one another and getting to a better place and having stronger, more productive conversations.
Yeah, and really, you know, our vision when we started the whole thing was first to give access to the airwaves to some people who normally don't get it. So some of that started initially with a candidate focus. But one of the things that we've been proudest of is that we have actually been able to expand to include both individuals who are actually sitting in elected office now, folks who have sit in elected office previously.
Mm-hmm.
We have folks who are journalists.
Right.
We introduced a journalist this season. And then, you know, we also had various people throughout the community who could talk about whatever the issue of the day was. Think Dr. Nina Ford Johnson, for example, coming and talking to us about what was happening with COVID.
Well, our very first candidate, Kavita, Dr. Kavita Patel.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
She's out there on the front lines right now trying to get through this Delta variant. So hopefully won't go too much further to the other variant. So
she's big time. She's big time.
So
with that, thank you guys once again so much. My name is Robert Kennedy Jr. I have enjoyed being your show host for Kennedy for Alabama, and we will look forward to seeing you next season. You guys take care now.
Stay safe.